paper? Members of the House, today is Friday, February 29th. That only happens once every 4 years, isn't it? This is the 15th day of the 2008 budget session of the 59th Wyoming Legislature. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards, Esquivel F, Esquivel K, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Eichel, Illaway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Madden, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Simlek, Shepperson, Simpson, Slater, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Warren, White, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, 60 present.
Our blessing for the day will be offered by the Pastor Ernest J. Fitzhugh, representing Unity Missionary Baptist Church, Cheyenne. Pastor Fitzhugh?
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Praise God. That's great enthusiasm. I'm glad to hear that. And I just wanted to say before the prayer that I'm thankful for your having me here. It's been a very inspiring and inspirational week for me. Hope that I have said something in the prayers that would inspire you to continue on. God bless you. Thank you. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for including these thy people to carry on the work that they're about to do. We thank you for calling them by your gospel, making them your brothers and sisters through baptism, and sustaining us all through your word and through your sacrament. Oftentimes we become lost, we become discouraged, we become in the maze of complexities that before us, and we know that as our good shepherd that you will lead us through these times of trouble, strengthen their wills, guide their walk so that they will be truly in your footsteps. Show us the way that they must go and the things that they must do that will help us, the waiting congregation, the waiting nation, the waiting people in this city, this state, and this nation, to be able to accept them for what they are and for who they are and for the things that they do to benefit us in this country. We thank you, Lord, for those that are overseas, that you bless them, their families, their surroundings. Keep them in your peace. Now, Lord, bless us all as we go forth with our daily task. These things I do pray in the almighty and precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Pastor. Good
Thank
job
you, sir.
All week. It's been nice having you with us.
Hey, Tom. Good.
I may end up in your for one of your services. Floyd Esquivel, who's heard you, said it is dynamite, and I need some dynamite. I'm a good Catholic.
Well, that's all right.
Like
you're child of a king, so that's a good
thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate being here. Morning. How are you, dear?
I'm going to miss not being here.
You've gotten me used to. I've got you motivated now.
I The House will come to order. The reading clerk will read the Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 28, 2008 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Teeters, Representative Millen.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I usually don't get up and ask for privilege of the floor, but Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Thank you.
Olson.
You know, a few years ago when I first came down here, there were a lot of people very concerned that this ski bum was elected to the House, and what's he going to do? Can he do it? You know, he had some tough shoes to fill. Well, I'll tell you what, it's because of the person I want to introduce that made a transition for me and helped me along the way, and she is my dearest friend in the world. I still ask her for advice every chance I get when I go to Jackson. I sit down and visit with her, and she'll stop what she's doing to visit with me and to help me out. This morning in Judiciary, over on the other side, I got up and pitched my bill, and a few of my co-sponsors did, and the Chief Justice did. But when she got up and spoke in favor of it, it was an entirely different message. It was eloquent. It was, you know, I sat there going, dang, I miss her on being on the floor. And we all miss her. We love her. She's still a member of us. She's our family. She's my dear friend, and I love her dearly, Clarine Law.
Hey, you guys. Look what we've got up here in the gallery. You have women in the gallery. Mr. Speaker.
Representative Law.
Mr. Speaker and honorable representatives, you do not know how thrilled I am to be here today, just to be with you again, to feel your warmth, to feel your love, to feel your confidence. You know, I'm here to help commemorate Women's History Month. I'm here with the advice and with the invitation of the Women's Legislative Caucus. I am so proud of you women in the legislature. I'm so proud of Rosie and that wonderful job she did this morning with the prayer breakfast. I am recognizing these wonderful women in their unity today. I never thought I'd see unity like this. A Women's Legislative Caucus on both sides of the aisle. The Equipoise Foundation with their impetus. And I would recognize Melissa Turley, beautiful young councilwoman in our town, Mickey Babcock particularly. And also we have the Women's Foundation, the wonderful work they do. But of great note in this leap into leadership, which is our slogan today, we have the Equality State Partnership, the foundation as a partner with the Wyoming Business Alliance. Now, how could that be? I think that it's a moment to celebrate the wonderful partnership of purpose. You know, there are many people I could thank here. I look at you, and it puts tears in my eyes for the great, wonderful job that all of you do here, the respect you garner, the confidence that you give to me. You know, in history, we always talk about those neat old women, you know, that with those stern faces that established equality in this great state. You always have to think of Esther Hobart Morse, first woman to hold public office. You can't even imagine this now. And you think of Louisa Ann Swain in her matronly dress. She looked awful, I thought, in a way, but no. Some of these women, they take pictures that probably were going to look like that one that was just taken of me, but you know. As you went down there to the polling place and cast that first vote. Can you believe that? Our beloved Nellie Taylor Ross, as she served. In our personal journeys, every one of us have mentors. Particularly, I looked up to a woman of great stature who was then Secretary of State, Thyra Thompson. I hope Bill's here today. She was a mentor to me and a great example. And I think back in recent history, and it's not a far backward look, I think of those women who gave me the confidence for this leap. You know, I don't know, this leap into leadership, that implies a chasm, and I don't see the chasm. I don't see that the chasm's disappearing. I can see that. You know, and I don't know if that makes me the leapy or the leper. But, this thing. But, you know, think of the women now that we have. Think of Chief Justice and being in the Supreme Court, Marilyn Kite. Think of the executive body. You know, here we have Rita Meyer. And we've had Cynthia Lummis. We've had Judy Ketchpole. I remember Kathy Carpen. All these wonderful people that have served in that capacity. And then I think of myself coming into this body. I felt lacking in courage. I felt like the cowardly lion of the Wizard of Oz. I thought I knew everything. I had been chairman of the school board in Teton County. I knew nothing. I knew one thing very shortly. There's no such word as I. It was we. I could do nothing, absolutely nothing. And I learned that pretty fast. But I was not leaping into leadership. I think I was thrust there. Let me tell you some experiences. There was a legislator that sat right over here, and I had one of my wonderful pieces of legislation. You know, I probably wanted to sponsor the chocolate chip cookie for the state cookie. I probably wanted to sponsor the square dances, the state dance. I actually wanted to do art in public buildings, and I had a minibar bill. This representative from Lincoln County, I loved that man, he stood up and said, "Mr. Speaker, this is absolutely the worst piece of legislation I have ever heard on the floor of this House. However, I'm going to vote for it for the little woman." Well, Clyde, believe it or not, Clyde, you gave me confidence. We aren't just the little women, but we never were really, and he just didn't recognize it. You know, Wyoming was always a state, it was right that it had become the equality state because we worked side by side. We were strong women, ranch women, cattle women, women in homes, doing all those things side by side by you wonderful leaders who are men. We weren't pieces of fluff. We're not pieces of fluff. We were always people of purpose. Then I think of some of the awful things I've said on this floor when I mumbled and when I was trying to gain my place in this leadership thing. I can think of the leaders, not too immediate past, and I would particularly pay some attention to those leaders. You know, I came in here with somebody named Patty McMillan. She said I didn't say statute right. She said I said statuette. I probably still do. I came in here with a leader, Peg Shreve, but I came in here with Dorothy Perkins, who's diminished somewhat in her health. And I came in here with people like Irene Devon. I can see Marlene Simons over there, and I can see Carolyn Passano. I can see so many chairmen of the past. But it isn't just the chairman that I see. I see leaders, men and women in this body. You know, I look here and I just almost want to cry. You know, I don't want to pull some sort of thing like that. But, you know, I look here at Deb Healy Hammonds, and I first encountered her maybe 20 years ago, Cody Roundtable, where she was talking in leadership capacity. And you're all such leaders. And I think of the legislation that came out of here with your great impetus. I think of things that were worked hand in hand with. And, you know, I have a friend in this body, Sandra Representative Meyer. I chaired the Committee of Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Sandra was a champion. She was so courageous, she stepped forward and sponsored. Where is Sandra? She sponsored the Pipeline Authority Bill upon which much has been built today and spoke so well to it, did her research, and at the risk of mentioning, singling out too many, I would single out the efforts of that great woman. So, this little leap, and I'm not going to talk all day, you have work to do. But Peg Shreve came up and she said, "You just quit slinking along like you do." She said, "You act like you're just a coward. I know you know something. Now get up there and tell them." So I think that day, if some outfitter bill I was always championing, I think I talked about gut piles. You know, that's the kind of thing that I was known for, just slips of the tongue, I believe. But anyway, you know, in those days, and I think I was brought out here today and for these few minutes, and I can't tell you the gratitude I feel because to be in this hall of greatness among all of you leaders, and I just elected close to the people like you are. But I think I feel a little like the prize puppy at the fair because I think I was the last woman chairman in this house. for now, because there will be greater... It isn't my chairmanship from which I learned leadership. It's from all of you I learned leadership. Because in order to be a leader, to jump that great chasm, to leap, if you will, you have to have confidence. Men and women of the Wyoming Legislature gave me that confidence to serve. And these women here today are here to seriously take that leap and to be prepared. And I look for great things, like our little councilwoman, Melissa, truly for town, wonderful councilman. Now, there is still a wage disparity in Wyoming. There are glass ceilings, much work to be done. But there are those, all of us that are here in this equality state, doing that work. I would commend First Lady Nancy Friedenthal for the work that she's doing on these issues. I wish she were here today. She does so much. Now, you have work to do, and I want to tell you this. Mr. Speaker, if I were allowed to make a motion, I would simply move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it would do so with a very favorable recommendation. That a resolution of great strength be passed, guaranteeing equality to every man, woman, and child within the 98,000 square miles of this great state, and extending nationally, universally, much as those early women of history did when they thrust us into this leaping position, into first in this great equality state. I only ask that you affirm leadership and that you affirm true equality in this equality state. I'm so happy to be here today. Thanks for your great leadership.
You have heard the motion. All in favor of the motion, stand up. Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the
floor? You certainly may.
Mr. Speaker, I know that you're going to think it's unusual that I would introduce a Cheyenne Elementary School that's here visiting today, but I would like you to look in the west balcony at Mrs. Amon's first grade class, first and second grade class from Afferback Elementary School. Would you welcome him in the west balcony? And Mr. Speaker,
Representative Harvey.
Speaker, the reason I'm introducing this class is that's my grandson, Jimmy Hayes, standing in that corner, part of this school.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the north balcony, I would like to introduce four ladies this morning. Two granddaughters, Sarah and Lindsay Kindred from Powell, and their mother, my daughter, Leanne, and her mother, my wife, Elaine. Please stand up.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to introduce in the south balcony our Teacher of the Year, and I would like to take a minute to just briefly tell you about the Teacher of the Year. It took me a second to figure out which was South Balcony because I grew up on a farm and it was the cornfield or the alfalfa field, but it's the South Balcony. The Teacher of the Year, just briefly, what you go through to get that award, you must be a classroom teacher in a state-approved school, kindergarten through 12. This teacher must inspire students, must have respect and admiration of students, parents, and colleagues, must be active and useful in a role in the community, certainly representing the leadership qualities we were talking about today. And the Teacher of the Year also comes with an enormous responsibility. This individual is expected to attend national events such as the International Space Camp, the National Teacher of the Year Ceremony. There's a rigorous selection process that begins at the district level and ends up and through a score process and evaluation process with the Wyoming Department of Education. And then there are eight applicants that are chosen in the top eight. And finally, the School Board of Education chooses the final one through a process of interview, and that individual is the Wyoming Teacher of the Year. This year, I am honored to present to you Eileen Johnson, standing up. Yes. And I would say briefly, Eileen is a fourth grade teacher and has taught since 2005 in the Indian Paintbrush Elementary School in Laramie. However, prior to that, Eileen was a special education teacher for 25 years in the Albany County School District, and she's certified as a tribes teacher, which is an interesting concept. The philosophy of tribes classrooms assures the healthy development of every child. And you can see with her smile and her way of being that she represents that today for us. Again, another leader in Wyoming. And I want to congratulate Eileen as a teacher of Wyoming, Teacher of the Year. Thank you.
Representative Berger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and all of my fellow colleagues. This has been a great day already, and I also have some folks that are from all over the state, Laramie County, Fremont, Goshen, Natrona, Albany. They may all have started to leave yet, but this is the Wyoming Federation of Republican Women, and their state president is Rosemary Shunk from Bighorn, Wyoming, and as you know, we don't have many folks coming from Bighorn, and so if all those women from the Federation would stand up, if you're in the gallery, we'd like to applaud you. So they're supposed to be in red, but I think they didn't get the memo. And as you also know, we've been having quite a bit of international exposure at our house these last few weeks, and we too today have two international students with us, Nini from the Republic of Georgia and Stacy from the country of Ukraine. And if they're in the audience, I'd love for them to stand too. They come from Sheridan, and we welcome them. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and have a wonderful day.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Members of the body, I'd like to recognize the superintendent of schools in Douglas, Wyoming, here in the South Gallery, Mr. Dan Espeland.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning. I assume, and I know what that means, that you're going to introduce the doc of the day.
I would, unless someone else chooses to do that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
About 10 years ago, There is a gentleman from Gillette, or Northern Campbell County, that ministered to all of us. And he ministered to us when we were sick. He told us to wash our hands, to take echinacea, do all kinds of things so we didn't get sick. And today it's my pleasure to introduce the doc of the day, former Representative McMurtry.
Representative McMurtry.
Well, thank you one and all. It's a pleasure to be here, Mr. Speaker. I see a lot of my old friends and a lot of new faces as well. Owen gave me a big smile. Everybody's looking great, and it sounds as though you're doing great work down here. To all of you who were here when I left, you know, there's a lot of new faces, as I said, and I'm sure you're having as great a time as I did. I served 5 terms in this body, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And I want to tell you that as your doctor for the day, I hope I don't see you upstairs. But I just as soon loaf a lot. I'm getting old. I even have a cane on occasion. But anyway, it's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to see you all. And I know you're doing a fine job. And Mr. Speaker, who's also my old friend, is doing a fine job along with everybody else. Colin is your majority floor leader, and all of you folks are just getting it done. And I'm so proud of this group, and I'm proud of having been here. Thanks a lot, and have a great day.
Our nurses of the day will be Betsy Hartman from Thermopolis and Donna Hayes Riverton. Thank you, ladies. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 194. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 6, Costs for Emergency Detentions Limitations. Ayes 29, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 51, Mentor Hunter Program. Ayes 24, noes 5, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 196. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 55, Appropriation for the Legislature. Ayes 26, noes 3, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 197. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 69, Wildlife and Material Resource Funding and Amendments. The Senate did fail to concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Ayes 1, noes 27, excused 1, conflict 1. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments for the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 198. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 69. The Senate conferees are Senator Burns, Chairman, Senator Geis, Senator Massey. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 193. Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. Speaker, the bill, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bills as below by the vote indicated. House Bill 97, Juvenile Hearings Timelines. Ayes 10, noes 19. Excused 1. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Members of the House, we are at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. The reading clerk will read the first enrolled act, being House Enrolled Act Number 10.
House Enrolled Act Number 10, being original House Bill Number 16, an act relating to special districts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 10, being original House Bill 16. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be number 11.
House Enrolled Act number 11 being original House Bill number 21, an act relating to commercial vehicles, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act number 11 being original House Bill 21. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be number 12.
House Enrolled Act number 12 being original House Bill number 46, an act relating to the abuse of animals, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act number 12 being original House Bill 46. Congratulations, Representative Berger. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be number 13.
House Enrolled Act number 13 being original House Bill number 78, an act relating to highways, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act number 13 being original House Bill 78. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be number 14 being original House Bill 81.
House Enrolled Act number 14 being original House Bill 81, an act relating to community colleges, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act number 14 being original House Bill 81. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be number 15.
House Enrolled Act number 15 being original House Bill 111, an act relating to state lands, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act number 15 being original House Bill 111. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be number 16.
House Enrolled Act number 16 being original House Bill number 30, an act relating to courts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act number 16, being original House Bill 30. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be number 17.
House Enrolled Act number 17, being original House Bill number 36, an act relating to notaries and notarial acts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act number 17, being original House Bill 36. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be number 18.
House Enrolled Act number 18, being original House Bill number 89, an act relating to property, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act number 18, being original House Bill 89. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act will be Senate Enrolled Act number 1.
Senate Enrolled Act number 1 being original Senate file number 2, an act relating to the Select Committee on Natural Resources Funding, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 1 being original Senate file 2. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 2.
Senate Enrolled Act number 2 being original Senate file number 3, an act relating to game and fish, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 2 being original Senate file number 3. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 3.
Senate Enrolled Act number 3 being original Senate file number 4, an act relating to foreclosure and redemption of realty sold under mortgage and execution, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 3 being original Senate file number 4. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 4.
Senate Enrolled Act number 4 being original Senate file number 17, an act relating to school facilities, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 4 being original Senate file number 17. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 5.
Senate Enrolled Act number 5 being original Senate file number 32, an act relating to parole, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 5 being original Senate file number 32. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 6.
Senate Enrolled Act number 6 being original Senate file number 49, an act relating to taxation and revenue being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 6 being original Senate file 49. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 7.
Senate Enrolled Act number 7 being original Senate file number 52, an act relating to construction of statutes being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 7 being original Senate file number 52. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 8.
Senate Enrolled Act number 8 being original Senate file number 61, an act relating to school finance being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 8 being original Senate file number 61. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 9.
Senate Enrolled Act number 9 being original Senate file number 64, an act relating to juveniles, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 9 being original Senate file number 64. I have so signed. The next Senate Enrolled Act will be number 10.
Senate Enrolled Act number 10 being original Senate file number 68, an act relating to judicial retirement, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 10 being original Senate file number 68. I have so signed. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 31, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstader, Gingrey, Mercer, Shepperson, Throne, excused, Olson, signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 83, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Edwards, Escobel, F., Hallinan, Hammonds, Madden, Slater, White, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Edwards, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 84, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Edwards, Escobel, F., Hallinan, Hammonds, Madden, Slater, White, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Edwards, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 88, engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Edwards, Escobel, F., Hallinan, Hammonds, Slater. No, Madden, White, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Edwards, Chairman.
We are now at that order of business of requests to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is in message number 189 on House Bill number 9. Chairman Elloway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request concurrence on message 189 to House Bill 9, Campaign Finance Reporting. The Senate did a little work on this particular piece of legislation, and they did insert a paragraph that, as the chairman, I forgot to insert, which appears on page 3, and it talks about, and you can see that, and this is in, well, I did have it, too many pieces of paper on somebody's desk. This refers to, in the statutes 22-25-102, contribution of funds or election assistance restricted and so forth, and it says no organization of any kind is specified in subsection A of this section shall solicit or obtain contributions for any of the purposes specified in subsection A, which I just read the heading of this section, from an individual on an automatic basis, including but not limited to a payroll deduction plan or reverse checkoff method, unless the individual who is contributing affirmatively consents in writing to the contribution. And we took out at least once in every calendar year. This was a bill last year that passed this body 57-3. And it failed in the Senate. We couldn't bring it up in the Senate. It fits here. So I hope that you'll agree there. Then the Senate on page 3, line 19, they went back, they deleted the $2,300 and inserted the original amount, $3,500. They did that on line 20. On line 21, they deleted $4,006, inserted $7,000. This was, except as otherwise provided in this section, no political action committee shall contribute directly or indirectly more than $3,500 per election and $7,000 per election. Then they went ahead and on line 22, they deleted the $4,600, deleted a few words, increasing civil penalties as specified, and then on page 3, line 5, the civil penalty, we had it at $25,000. They took it back to the original $10,000. I don't see that they damaged the bill any, and I would urge concurrence. I think it's actually as it came out of committee or out of the interim. Then we changed it, then they changed it back. So I would urge your concurrence.
We are now voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill number 9.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Throne, my apologies.
If it's appropriate, I would like to rise in opposition to concurrence and urge everybody to look pretty carefully at what our friends across the way did. They basically undid everything we did on the House floor that was substantial. And in addition, inserted a whole new subject into the bill that wasn't there before, something we didn't have a chance to debate at all. So I would strongly urge that we not concur and that we go to conference and maybe come up with a better solution. Thank you.
Further discussion. Chairman Illaway.
The good lady from House District 11 is partially correct. What they really did, we played around with the amounts for the PACs. It was $2,300, then it was $4,600, then it was $3,500, then it was $7,000. If you're concerned with the dollar limits, that's fine. I'm not. The paragraph that was inserted should have been inserted on the House side. That was a piece of legislation that we passed, as I indicated, a year ago in a bill. We didn't change the paragraph. The paragraph is as is. It is in statute. We passed the bill here. It got over to the west side of the Capitol, ran out of time or was not deemed appropriate to bring up, but we did pass it out of here last year. And it merely talks about a person, unless the individual who is contributing affirmatively consents in writing to the contribution. And we took out at least once every calendar year. Nothing in this subsection shall be construed to authorize contributions otherwise prohibited under this election code. Last year we tried to take the entire paragraph out. Some people thought that was too much, so we took out the words at least once in every calendar year where somebody has to consent in writing. So I, again, would urge your concurrence.
Representative Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not too concerned about the dollar amount, but this added paragraph does raise some concern. And that is, if you're having a contribution deducted from your payroll, I think that it would be beneficial to have a reminder every year that you're having this deduction made. Within that year's time, you might not appreciate the political backing of the organization that you're putting that money towards, and you might want to rethink that. And this would give you the opportunity to say, yes, either continue to do this and remove this from my paycheck, or no, I don't want to do it anymore. So I think that's the section that we need to talk to the Senate about, on and against concurrence.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am concerned about the dollar amount. Most of us have campaigns. The total cost of our campaigns probably cost less than $10,000. This will give one political action committee the opportunity to donate $7,000 to a candidate. I think that's a bad idea, and I urge you to vote against concurrence. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion. Representative McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I rise to the podium to say that I disagree with my fellow follically challenged legislature from the North on his comments about payroll deduction. I think if you have money taken out of your paycheck, you'd probably know it, and if you don't know it, then there's something wrong with you, because you get these stubs all the time that tell you about it. And it's a convenience for some of the employees and some of these people to have this done. So I stand in favor of that particular part of the legislation that was struck in the Senate.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I suspect I've seen more pay stubs than anybody else in here just because of my age and the career that was in the payroll. And I historically looked at the last dollar amount and I cashed the check. And I think the reminder is a good thing, because something that gets in there, it's like taxes. You quit thinking about it and you only look at the other. So I think that provision is worthwhile and should be in the bill. So I'd urge a vote no on the concurrence and see if we get a little more discussion on that item, because I think it's important.
Further discussion. We are now voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill number 9. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Dockstetter. Edmonds. Edwards. Esquivel F. Esquivel K. Gilmore, no. Gingery, no. Goggles, no. Hales, no. Hallinan, no. Hammonds, no. Harshman, no. Harvey, no. Eichel, no. Illaway, aye. Yagi, no. Jones, aye. Jorgensen, no. Landon, no. Lockhart, no. Lubno, aye. Madden, no. Martin, no. McComey, aye. Mercer, no. Meyer, Miller, aye. Millen, no. Olson, aye. Peterson, no. Philp, Korberg, aye. Samuelson, aye. Simlick, aye. Shepperson, aye. Simpson, aye. Slater, aye. Stewart, no. Stubson, no. Teeters, aye. Thompson, no. Throne, no. Wallace, aye. Warren, no. White, no. Swanitzer Dan, aye. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, aye. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 23 ayes, 37 noes.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 9. are now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 13.
Senate File 13, introduced by Mental Health, an act relating to Mental Health Professions Practices Act.
Senate File 13, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 22.
Senate File 22, introduced by the School Facilities, an act relating to school capital construction.
Senate File 22, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming National Guard regarding insurance contribution option.
Senate File 25, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 30.
Senate File 30, introduced by Senator Geis, an act relating to commercial vehicle licensing.
Senate File 30, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36.
Senate File 36, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to public health and safety regarding emergency volunteers.
Senate File 36, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 63.
Senate File 63, introduced by the Select Natural Resources, an act relating to Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act.
Senate File 63, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 66.
Senate File 66, introduced by the Judiciary, an act relating to Community Juvenile Services.
Senate File 66, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 76.
Senate File 76, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to private roads.
There is an amendment. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 76. After I looked at this engrossed bill as it came over and gave it some thought, I like the spirit and intent of what's set out here, but I wasn't satisfied that it went far enough. And so I've drafted this amendment, and this amendment would change this bill and say that after the necessity hearing and after the Board of County Commissioners has made the finding that there's no legally enforceable access, and after the Board of County Commissioners has appointed the viewers and appraisers, and after the viewers and appraisers have returned their report to the Board of County Commissioners, all that remains at the Board of County Commissioners. That, then what's left at that point is to evaluate the report of the viewers and appraisers, and that's where some really technical issues start to creep in terms of land descriptions, whether they've properly evaluated the damages, how the damages are calculated, finishing the thing off with findings of fact and conclusions of law, and incorporating those into an order that works and compels the payment of the money and the recordation of the order and the final establishment of the private road. And so at that point where those technical issues start to creep in, my amendment would change this and would say that unless the Board of County Commissioners elects to retain jurisdiction, at that point it's going to go to the district court and let the district judge finish it off. And I think the real parts of these proceedings that the commissioners like to be involved in are the finding of necessity and the appointment of the viewers and appraisers and getting their report back. And at that point, my experience has been that it's not very much fun for the commissioners from there on. And the computation of damages is problematic. In fact, Mr. Speaker, one time on one of these, we had the viewers and appraisers rent a room at a motel near some hot springs in the southern part of the state and convene their own hearing down there and start essentially holding court on this thing. And I think that's where the commissioners really lost control of the process. So it doesn't take away the option of the county commissioners to retain jurisdiction of the proceeding all the way through if that's what they want to do. But I think in most cases the commissioners are not going to want to do that. So it says unless they elect to retain jurisdiction, if they do nothing, in other words, after 20 days, then they certify it up to the district court, and the district judge takes it from there and finishes it out. So, Mr. Speaker, I stand for questions and ask for your favorable consideration of this amendment.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment and urge you to vote aye. I've sat through quite a few of these representing my county commissioners. We did one recently where we had a guy was trying to build on top of a butte that had a view of the Tetons. He had eight attorneys involved. Everybody had multi-million-dollar pieces of property, so they each team had a team of attorneys. So we ended up with quite a few attorneys in the room. We had a hearing officer who was a former district court judge. We had the commissioner sitting as a jury, and this thing went for 5 days. And we were discussing very minute details of the law in which we had to have rulings upon by the county commissioners. In particularly, where it gets very problematic is when we start talking about the actual monetary damages for the land that you're crossing. And in that particular case, the damages were into the millions of dollars. I know particularly from that case, the commissioners would have very much have appreciated if a district court judge had been making the legal decisions as to those issues. So I think this is an excellent bill and an excellent amendment, and I would urge your support.
Further discussion. The motion is to adopt second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 76. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 76 has been adopted. Senate File 76 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 81.
Senate File 81, introduced by Senator Peterson, an act relating to fire protection districts.
Senate File 81, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 87.
Senate File 87, introduced by Senator Mockler, an act relating to administration of government regarding Capitol building restoration.
Senate File 87, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before I move the consent list, I would like to request that pursuant to Rule 9-3C, that Senate File 18 be laid back 1 day for a third reading.
Without objection, Senate File 18 will be put on the third reading list for Monday's work.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading consent list of Senate File 7, Senate File 8, Senate File 39, Senate File 41, Senate File 43, Senate File 48, and Senate File 57.
Is there any member wishes to remove any of these bills from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills through the enacting clause.
Senate File 7, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to animal damage management program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 8, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to the farm loan program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 39, introduced by Senator Hastert, an act relating to the State Miners Hospital Board, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 41, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to vacation of plats, vacating subdivisions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 43, introduced by Senator Geis, an act relating to contagious and infectious diseases among livestock, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 48, introduced by Management Council, an act relating to administration of government regarding reporting amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 57, introduced by Senator Anderson, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system, hospitals' participation thereof, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 7, Senate File 8, Senate File 39, Senate File 41, Senate File 43, Senate File 48, and Senate File 57 pass the House? The Chief Clerk, the Assistant Chief Clerk, will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquibel F.
Aye.
Esquibel K.
Aye.
Gilmore. Gingrey,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer, Meyer,
aye.
Miller, Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Semlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Alden?
Aye.
The vote is closed. Are there any changes? I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to Senate File 7, are there any changes? Warren? Aye to no. Gilmore, aye to no. Gingrey, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Alden, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any additional changes? The vote is closed, 53 aye, 7 no. As to Senate File 8, are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Gingrey, aye to no. Berger, aye to no.
Members of the House, those that were changing their vote, please stand again. We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Okay. Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Warren, aye to no. Berger, aye to no. Gingrey, aye to no. Gilmore, aye to no.
Miller,
aye to no.
Dockstader,
aye to no.
Hallinan,
aye to no.
Mercer,
aye to no.
Landon,
aye to no.
And
Madden, aye to no. Are there any additional changes?
Okay.
vote is closed. Aye, 49, 11 no's. We're going to try this again. As to Senate File 39, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 41, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 43, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 48, are there any changes? Any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 57, are there any changes? Miller? Aye to no. Shepperson? Aye to no. Philp? Aye to no. Teeters? Aye to no. Buchanan? Aye to no. Jones? Aye to no. Any additional changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 6 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 7, Senate File 8, Senate File 39, Senate File 41, Senate File 43, Senate File 48, and Senate File 57 have passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 11.
Senate File 11, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to subdivisions, large acre parcels, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 11. Ladies and gentlemen, as this bill stands, it is one of the great compromises. And I mean that sincerely. There was an amendment which we defeated that would have imposed on these what we call large lot subdivisions from 35 to 140 acres the same stringent requirements that we impose on subdivisions of less than 35 acres. There was also, of course, an attempt to defeat the bill in its entirety, which would leave the large lot subdivisions without any subdivision regulation at all. And this is the great compromise where it says, as to large lot subdivisions, there's some regulation, but there's not the onerous or the full range of regulation that exists for subdivisions below 35 acres. That's where we set. And there are a lot of reservations about this, but we're just going to have to make a decision. Now, the effect of this amendment is to move the dates in here from July the 1st to March the 25th. And I thought about asking to have this effective as soon as it was enacted, and LSO was having trouble with that, and they wanted a hard date, so they put in March the 25th. What I would submit to you for your consideration, and I'm not going to advocate this any way, one way or the other. I simply want everybody to understand it, and we'll vote it how we wish. But as this great compromise stands, there is the potential right now that between the time the session ends and July the 1st, there may be something akin to the Oklahoma land rush going on. There may be subdivision activity like we've never seen, trying to beat out the effective date of this bill. And that concerned me. If it concerns you, you're going to want to vote yes on this amendment. If it doesn't concern you, then you're going to want to vote no. The thing to think about is this. Well, there is that exemption in there for 10 splits, and those 10 splits have fewer than the full range of requirements for 35 to 140 acres that are going to be imposed after July the 1st. And so I think there are going to be people who are trying to position themselves to take advantage of the 10 splits. And as I say, I think it's going to, who knows, but I think it's going to look like the Oklahoma land rush. I think we're going to see all sorts of subdivision activity or division activity taking place between now and the effective date of this bill, trying to beat out the imposition of these requirements. And these requirements, I think, reflect a lot of cost shifting to the Wyoming Water Development Commission and to the county commissioners. It's been going on for a long time. That's what we're trying to put a stop to. And I would remind you all again, we're not stopping subdivisions. People can subdivide as freely after this bill is passed as they could before, except that it's going to impose on the subdivisions that are created some of the cost, probably not all of it, but some of the cost of the infrastructure that now is being picked up later by the Water Development Commission and the county commissioners. So if you share my concern, I do have a concern, if you share my concern that between now and July the 1st, there's going to be all kinds of activity that's evasive of this and that is going to try to beat the deadline and shift a whole bunch of costs to county commissioners and the Wyoming Water Development Commission, then you would vote for this amendment. If you're not concerned about that, or if you feel that that's a fair game, and anybody that can get it done before July the 1st and shift it, cost to the county commissioners and the Water Development Commission, if you think that's okay, then you would vote against it. And I would leave it for each of you to vote whatever you think is the proper solution to that problem.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and against the bill, this bill has kind of taken a life of its own. It's trying to do a lot of things for a lot of different parties. I think we have to be careful here. We took out the tax exemption, or we gave the tax exemption, the ag exemption, back on second reading yesterday. So again, we're letting this land go forward in ag exemptions. You've heard comments on the floor here and in committee about the state is having to pony up and put a lot of money into these subdivisions. And that's true on those small subdivisions prior to the 40-acre division size. I don't know of any subdivisions that have had trouble on the 40-acre side where the states had to pony up and foot the bill for some things. This land that's being subdivided, these folks pay taxes. They pay taxes to the county. What are the elected people in the county supposed to do with this tax money if they're not helping do some roads out in the community or water projects out in the community? What is the role of government here if they collect taxes, yet you can't use the tax money for these very same things? So against the amendment and against the bill.
Representative Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand against this amendment and for the bill. And one of the things that bothers the public more than anything is when government sneaks up on them. And that's what this amendment does. All of a sudden, this bill has been out there. People have been watching it for months and months. We've been talking about it even over there for a year. And now all of a sudden, there's reasons that we have bills go into effect earlier or later. But this one is just to try to outfox developer or some landowner, and I just don't like the principle of changing the rules all of a sudden on a third reading amendment. My good friend from Laramie and I see eye to eye a lot, and I've never known him to sneak up on anybody, but I don't even know if he thought that's what we were doing here. But I'd urge you to defeat this amendment. We can get back to just doing the July 1st, and everybody in the state realizes what we're doing here.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, against the amendment, and I, too, will not be voting for the bill. For one thing, the amendment is just, I just don't think it's necessary, and I agree with my good colleague from Laramie County that everybody's been aware that this is coming, that we've been looking at it, so I don't think there's going to be this mad rush to get to the courthouse or to finish your business in a timely manner. And I think what we really need to remember here about this bill, we had the discussion yesterday, and I disagree with my colleague from Albany County. This is not going to stop individuals who have gone through this process from coming to the Water Development Commission for funding. It is not going to stop cost shifting. It's a totally voluntary thing, and when people go through the whole process and they've met all their obligations and they've identified their water and sewer system supply, and as the area continues to build, this bill is not going to stop that. These individuals over time are still going to make the decision that they're going to come to the Water Development Commission and that they're going to want funding to help put in their potable water supply. So please, this bill is not the answer to cost shifting on the part of what's happening out there. This bill is also not going to stop sprawl, not going to keep open spaces. It's just more like organized development. So please keep that in mind as you go move forward through these amendments and as you consider this bill. But definitely on and against the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Shepperson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Might as well beat a dead horse here. Speaking on and against the amendment, we need to let our county people get prepared. They're prepared for all July dates on everything. This is a big change. There's a lot of stuff to get ready for, and I think we need to give them time to prepare. And I don't see the Oklahoma land rush coming. If people are going to get around this, they're going to find a way, whether the date's March or July. So we need to give our county people time to prepare on and against the amendment.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also questioning the need for this, and I guess pose the question to the bringer, it would appear to me that the critical date is when our counties decide to adopt this, not when the bill goes into effect. And I can actually envision a quite a long time delay while our counties agonize over these decisions.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor of the amendment. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Pardon me, Representative Brown. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a final comment. Against the amendment, again, this is the 11th hour on this bill. And as far as the bill goes, if you understand the bill and like what the bill does, vote for it. If you understand the bill and don't like it, vote against it. But if you don't understand the bill, don't vote for it.
And that, Representative Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps these amendments have taken what was originally perhaps something that would have been a good intent and amended it, almost into oblivion. What we have here is something that's taking it beyond what it should be, and the amendments are not helping, and they'll negate the original intent of all the good work that's gone into this. So against the amendment and against the bill at this point.
Representative Brown.
Just a couple of comments, Mr. Speaker. As I say, vote your conscience on this one. However, I want you to vote for the bill, and some of this argument's been a referendum on the bill, I guess, and I strongly favor the bill. On this amendment, I say vote your conscience, and the one statement that was made is exactly right. Nothing's going to happen under this until the county commissioners elect to put it into effect. And I think that statement was made that somebody could envision a long time before they make that decision. I can envision a really long time, like years and years and years in some counties, before the commissioners elect to put it into effect. But if we have commissioners in a county and they're elected officials accountable to the voters, and believe me, they're going to hear about it. You think we've heard about it. We have heard nothing compared to what the commissioners are going to hear. And in the face of that, if commissioners in some county feel the need to put this into effect immediately because they've got a problem, this would give them the ability to do it.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 11. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 11 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 2. Representative Semlick.
Mr. Speaker, at this time, I withdraw third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 11.
Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 11 has been withdrawn. We are now on third reading amendment number 3. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 11. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have your orange copy, the engrolled copy of this bill, it is easier to track it through there. And, you know, like many other complicated bills we've had in the past, these types of issues require a lot of work and concentration to try and understand what the bill says, and it is always, it's proven to be particularly difficult with regard to subdivision laws and subdivision statutes, that whenever we get into them, problems that have existed for years in terms of definitions and interpretation of subdivision or lot continue to come up. What my amendment seeks to do is to clarify on page 2 of the engrolled copy, line 5, it would read, be entitled to an exemption, and then it would strike the and insert all provisions of this section, and then insert other than compliance with paragraphs 1 and 2, Romanet 1 and 2, of this subsection. Now, those paragraphs 1 and 2 are on page 3 of the bill. Now, this is how you are granted your exemption. Remember, this is not an unqualified exemption. This is a qualified exemption. You have to provide the documentation on page 3 of the engrolled copy, lines Romanet 1 and 2, or you don't get the exemption. Okay, and that's the way it is in the original bill, or I guess as was amended in the House. And that exemption is, remember, for every original parcel as of July 1st, 2008, you can split it up to 10 times between 35 acres and 140 acres. And you can split it as many times as you want over 140 acres if you have that much acreage, because over 140 acres is not covered by this bill. We're not attempting to do anything with that. We're just addressing 35 to 140. So, then back to page 2 on line 8, just take out the word pieces and insert parcels. Pieces isn't particularly a term of art in land. Line 9, provided that each new parcel, insert between new and parcel the words or remaining. And as I read this for the 2-millionth time, it struck me that if we're only talking about the new parcel, say you have a 160-acre quarter section, and that's divided into quarter quarters, four 40-acre sections, and you then take the exemption, and of every 40-acre, you take a 35 and leave a 5 in the middle. This bill doesn't say you can't have an original parcel that's smaller than 35 acres. It says your exempt parcels have to be between 35 and 140, and I don't think that's the intent of this bill. You could have a four lots of 5 acres within the middle of that 160 acres, and that's not the intent of the bill. I think the intent of the bill is to say every lot that's created or that remains from that original parcel has to be 35 or up to 140 or greater. So that's why I stuck the word or remaining in there. Line 14, where it talks about no more than 10 parcels of land, I struck the words 140 acres or less in size. That was confusing to me. We already define how big the parcels are up above there. And anything over 140, this bill doesn't apply to because the exemption does not apply to those. Page 3 of the engrolled copy, lines 5 through 7, I struck that language and reordered it a bit, and it says, before granting the exemption provided by this subsection, the board shall require the person seeking the exemption to submit. And then it's those items B, Roman numeral 1, and B, Roman numeral 2. And when I read this, I kept seeing the word, the term subdivision permit. And it looked like the board had to issue a subdivision permit. Well, that's not the intent of the bill. The bill is that the board grants an exemption, not approves or issues a subdivision permit for these exempt splits. So what the language now says is that the board can grant the exemption if they have that same documentation that was required, and I think it clarifies it, and there is a distinction between a subdivision permit and an exemption, a grant of an exemption. And then page 7 of the engrolled copy just clarified in Roman numeral 7 that documentation that adequate and adds ingress and egress access has been provided to all proposed lots, units, tracts, and parcels. And then it continues that, you know, there's no sense having access to the subdivision if you're not requiring it to every lot, parcel, or unit in the subdivision. And that's an explanation of the third reading amendment. I believe, it, at least for me, it clarifies some real inconsistencies and questions in my mind and makes it consistent and clearly identifies really what that exemption applies to. I stand for questions, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Illoway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My learned friend from the northwest corner does a wonderful job, and it takes him time sometimes to clarify what we think we've done well. And I really appreciate his work on some of these particular tough pieces of legislation. It was mentioned yesterday that this was not affecting some areas of the state. Thank goodness. There are 5 counties in the state that this has affected and affected deeply. So I hope it doesn't come to it that you say, well, it's not going to affect my county, because eventually it will if we don't do something. And that's all we've tried to do, is not take somebody's property rights away, but to clarify what needs to be done. If you like what has happened north of Casper and in some of the other areas where these folks have lived out in the hinterland, and they're having some problems with water, utilities, and so forth, then that's what you've got to do. Mr. Speaker, I think this is a good and friendly amendment.
Further discussion. The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 11. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 11 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 4. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, members of the body, we are now in the home stretch. And the amendment, I would move the adoption of third reading amendment number 4. All this language really does two things, and it's really to clarify a couple of issues and questions that have come up since we adopted the different exemption language in the committee of the whole. The first issue, and we talked about this in our initial discussion of the bill, and this is found on page 2 of the engrolled copy of the bill, was whether the exemption required both the same parcel and same owner that existed on July 1st of 2008. And I explained to you that what we were looking at is what was the parcel of land as of July 1st, 2008. Well, after we walked out of here, a number of people came up to me and asked the same question, and I thought, you know, if we can clarify it now, we should clarify it now and avoid questions down the road. And so the first portion of this amendment just simply eliminates the reference to the owner and makes it very clear that what we're talking about is in determining the application of the exemption, we're looking at those parcels in existence as of July 1st, 2008. The second part of the amendment merely adds in a definition of what parcel is. And again, there was parcels used numerous times throughout this provision of the statute, those provisions that we're not even talking about, it's been used. But there were questions about, well, what if the county line runs down the middle? What if there's a road running across it? What if? And so, again, I thought if we as a body can clarify it and avoid turmoil down the road, we should do so. And so we've merely inserted a division of parcel that means a contiguous piece of property under common ownership. And that seems to be a fairly, in my mind, common sense approach to what a parcel should be. And I think these two clarify the exemption. I would say that don't be scared by the amendments that we've adopted to this bill through this body. I think we have made this a much, much better bill. What we have done is we have tailored the net so it is aimed to catch what we seek to catch, and it has siphoned out those sort of unintended consequences that were found in the terms of the bill when it came over. So I would urge the adoption of the amendment and of the bill.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I served on the Corporations Committee for a good number of years, and we've tried to wrestle with this. And I'm being told with the adoption of these last two amendments, we've fixed this piece of legislation. I'm totally a C. I have no idea what's happened to this piece of legislation. And I think that if this legislation is fixed and is correct, then we should bring it back next year in the form that it's corrected, has had some public input, and vote on it then. On and against the bill for this amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. It does track well with the third reading amendment we just passed, and it still clarifies that it's exempted as long as it complies with subparagraphs B1 and B2. And then the definition of parcel actually broadens the scope of this, because if you're a landowner and you own five parcels that are not contiguous, that don't adjoin each other, you will have five parcels, and you can have five exempt splits. And then you can have as many splits as you want over 140 acres, because that's not governed at all. So you might be a landowner who has, you know, those non-contiguous tracts, and it actually, you don't have to argue that these, I should be granted an exemption for each one of these. It clearly says that now. It only applies to the parcel itself, not the owner of the parcel. How would you ever know that down the line? Because these exemptions last for as long until you use 10 of the splits. So I encourage you to adopt this. And I would agree that we have made this bill much better and much clearer and much more succinct in how it applies. And, you know, we have lots of stuff coming our way, lots of stuff coming across our desk, and we do the best we can in the time that we're here. I'm sure I'm sure the other body will be enamored with every amendment we have put on the bill, and we'll just concur immediately. So this will be back. Thanks.
Representative Floyd Escobar.
Mr. Speaker, just a question. My memory is certainly correct. I think there was some litigation here in Laramie County regarding the definition of contiguous, and I was just wondering if the sponsor might want to leave that definition as it is or expand on it. Thank you.
Representative Gilmore.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill isn't quite what we had worked on in committee. But I do think with the amendments that we have been offered, we have made it a tighter bill. I really think this is needed in the various counties, so I would urge you to support the bill. The persona or the way it has come to the floor and the talk we've heard about not supporting it because of its complication, but I do still think there's something here for the counties to work with on the subdivisions. Thank you.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor of the amendment. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, just a quick comment in response to the question. I'm aware of the litigation regarding the definition of contiguous, and I think it works with the definition that we have. Again, this there was a reference regarding more public comment. The changes we've come to you with are the result of just that public comment. People that are affected by this legislation that have sought to make the bill better, and we've incorporated that, and it is a better bill. So I urge your support of the amendment in the bill.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 11. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 11 has been adopted. Senate File 11 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
No.
Dockstetter.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquibel F.
Aye.
Esquibel K. Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
no.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
conflict.
Lubno conflict, Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey, Mercer,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Millen,
no.
Olson,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
no.
Korberg,
no.
Samuelson,
aye.
Simlek,
no.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
no.
Slater,
aye.
Steward,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
no.
Warren, White, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 37 ayes, 22 noes, 1 conflict.
Senate File 11, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 11 has passed the House. Representative Edmonds.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
You certainly may.
Quickly, members of the House, I wanted to bring to your attention, we've done this once already, but I've been informed that quite a few of our Republican ladies were not in the gallery when we introduced them earlier. We now have women from Sheridan County, Fremont County, Laramie County, Albany County, and Natrona County, including the state president of the Wyoming Federation of Republican Women, Rosemary Shunk. Let's welcome them to the House.
Representative Berger.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
This has been a great day for me. I've got lots of folks from Sheridan County here and all of Bighorn behind me. And today, I also have my better half, Mr. Berger, with my very good friends, Maggie and Margaret Taberna, who are seniors at Bighorn High School. They're going to be touring our four-year institution tomorrow and seeing what's happening here in Wyoming, down in China.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 21.
Senate File 21, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 21 concerning the Hathaway Scholarships. And essentially what I bring to you today is a revision of the amendment from yesterday, which raises the bar. And my objective by doing this is to provide a way for a student who is motivated and working hard to have a way to move up in the Hathaway Scholarship Program. As it stands, as you know, the die is cast when you come out of high school. Whatever that scholarship level was, that's all you can attain. But you can go down, but you cannot go up. And so that's what we're attempting to do here. So what we've done is we've said that a student following the first spring semester, which matches the college's regular administrative cycle so it doesn't impact them unduly, following the first spring semester after which the student has completed not less than 60 credit hours, that's 2 years, 60 credit hours, and has attained at least a 3.4 grade point average at all institutions, that they shall be awarded the honors scholarship and the $1,600 per semester. I've been able to collect a little bit of information just to kind of give you an idea. There are some kids that this is going to help. We have currently, and now this is just in the community colleges. We didn't have time to gather the information to include the university as well, but just at the community colleges, we've got 402 students at the performance level, and out of those 402, 132 of them, or nearly 33% of them, a third of them, are currently holding a college GPA of 3.4 or higher. And of the opportunity level, those are kids who are currently only getting $800 a semester. There's 333 of them at community colleges right now. 46 of them are currently holding a GPA 3.4 or higher. So these kids, I'm not sure how many of these are sophomores. You know, some of these are freshmen. But of the kids that are sophomores who have 60 credit hours, they're looking down the pipe at going to the university for their following 2 years. Now, if we can give them that $1,600, all that does is barely cover their tuition and their fees. They still have to come up with their books. They still have to come up with their room and board. The estimated cost of attendance at the university now is pushing $15,000 a year. So I think that this does all of the things that have been mentioned. It sets the bar high. It rewards those kids who are really working. And I just would urge your support of this amendment.
Representative Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, being involved in this from the start and initially hearing the proposal at a little meeting in Casper several years ago, I think the emphasis on this type of program is you work hard. And the encouragement in the initial part of it is try to get the families involved and try to get the kids to work throughout high school to get a scholarship. And I'm quite pleased to see the amendment as brought to us now compared to what it was yesterday. It's encouraging the students to work hard. And I urge you to support this amendment. I think we need to reward those that work hard. So on and for the amendment.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, before I talk about the amendment, I would like to draw your attention to line 20 on the first page of the amendment, line 20, and after the numeral 60, I'd like to, Mr. Speaker, amend the amendment with a technical correction and insert the word semester. So it should read, not less than 60 semester credit hours.
That motion is in order. We will be on the amendment, discussion on the amendment to the amendment only.
Mr. Speaker, currently all our eligible institutions in the state of Wyoming use semester credit hours, but this is just, you know, down the road if something should change. And the other common change would be a quarter hour. system, which would be about two-thirds of that amount. So this clarifies what we're talking about, the 60 semester hours. It's somewhat in the Hathaway definitions, semester hours is in there, but this clarifies it, makes it crystal clear.
Further discussion on the amendment to the amendment. Members of the House, that is on your amendment, page 1, line 20, following the numeral 60, insert the word semester. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. The amendment to the amendment has been adopted. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I signed on to this amendment, much like the good representative from Park County just talked about. I sign on to it, and I urge you a little bit of caution and restraint as we move ahead, though. This is one step away from the original intention of encouraging hard work in high school, trying to get that high school, and we use school K through 12 foundation money to fund this. Having said that, I am on the amendment, and I support it for this reason. I think the rigor is there with it, and also really the time limit. When you have 60 credit hours, an average program at the University of Wyoming, and they're trying to bring them all into 128 hours. So basically, you're halfway through your program. Most kids who have a 3.4 GPA, which is the dean's list for students at the University of Wyoming, I'll just qualify that, 3.25 is the freshman's dean's list, 3.4 for all other students. So you're on the dean's list halfway through your program. Perhaps you were like many of us who were a bonehead in high school, and you've caught fire. And we need those folks. It's an incentive. I don't think it's going to cost a terrible amount of money. I think we'll be able to afford it. But I would caution you to not go any further. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I'd encourage your adoption of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, when I first heard there was going to be a third reading amendment, I thought, oh, not again. But, Mr. Speaker, this has with it some of the merit that we tried to do with the Hathaway Scholarship, and that's encourage our young people to try hard and get ahead. So I think this amendment accomplishes that for these children that have reached that degree in their junior colleges, our community colleges, and encourages them to go ahead and get that bachelor degree and not just be satisfied with the AA degree. So on and for the amendment, but I also would like to use the same caution that the good gentleman from Natrona County used. Let's let this thing go for a while and see how it's really working.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to take a moment to go back, just as my good colleague from the far north reaches of this state, back to the beginning of when we were first thinking about this and looking at different models around the country. And our original conception was that you would pay tuition for those students who worked hard. I knew this day would come, and I'm really glad that it's here in a timely fashion. We have students who've been in the program for 2 years. And so now what happens is they go to that junior and senior year for those who earned the scholarships that pay their full tuition at a community college will find that as they advance to the upper levels, to their junior and senior year, that they only qualify for half of the tuition. And so what we are doing here today is saying you have successfully completed that freshman and sophomore year. You've acquired those 60 semester hours. You have a 3.4 grade average, and now we will pay your full tuition for the upper level, and that will succeed in helping you graduate from the university or for the university programs at our community college. And so today is the completion. It is not a day to have caution. It's a completion of the full dream that we had, and that is that we would pay tuition for our students who work hard in order to increase the amount of kids who graduate from our college. And for that reason, I wholeheartedly support the amendment as it has been developed, and I am glad that we've arrived at this day and encourage you to vote aye.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of this amendment with this caution,
We've now got 60 credit hours and 3.4. Let's all pledge not to go to 45 hours or 30 hours and a 3.2 or a 3.1. I think let's make this our last line of defense on rigor through classes, scoring well, and earning the right to the scholarship. So I urge your support of the amendment.
Representative Dave Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to propose an amendment. It's going to be a little difficult here. On line 15, and I haven't had time to quite get this down. I want to insert after student, a student that graduates from a Wyoming high school, and then I would like to delete the rest of the line. So we would delete receiving a Hathaway opportunity or a Hathaway performance scholarship under this article shall be, I want to leave in shall be, I'm sorry, just up through the word article. I got to make sure it's good here before I argue it.
I'll be with you in 1 minute, Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you.
He needs a minute, or he's going to give me a minute.
He's getting it. Harshman's going to object right now.
He can't object until he okays it.
Sure he can.
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
Representative Harshman, your point is?
I think a couple points. I don't know about my understanding of amendments to the amendments are more technical type corrections in nature. This seems to kind of change the whole amendment and the whole spirit of the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Harshman. That's what we're looking up right now. Members of the House and Representative Dave Zwanitzer, in the Wyoming Manual of Legislative Procedures, E6, the limitations state towards the bottom, the historic practice of the House and the Senate has been to allow amendments to amendments to be proposed orally on the floor if done only to make technical corrections. And I'm going to have to rule that your amendment to the amendment is a little bit beyond that of a technical correction. With regret.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We are back on the amendment. Representative Wallace.
Mr. Speaker, I call for the question.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 21. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 21 has been adopted. Senate File 21 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards, Esquivel F., Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Meyer,
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Semlich, Shepperson, Simpson, Slater, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Warren, White, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
Senate File 21, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 21 has passed the House. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 199, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 44, Residential Mortgages Practice Act. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, noes 29, excused 1. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee, number 1, to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 200. Conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee, number 1, from the House on amendments to Senate File 44. The Senate conferees are Senator Larson, Chairman, Senator Bebout, Senator DiCaria. Signed by Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 201, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee, number 1, from the House on amendments to House Bill 55. The Senate conferees are Senator Geis, Chairman, Senator Scott, Senator Vasey. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, message 202. Conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 9. The Senate conferees are Senator Case, Chairman, Senator Landon, Senator Mockler. Signed, Representative Williamson, Chairman.
Representative Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, Mr. Speaker, I had a nice surprise when my mother from Riverton showed up, and one of Representative Miller's constituents. And I'd like to introduce her. She's sitting up there with Susan. And, Mom, if you'd stand up, I'd like these folks to welcome you.
Members of the House, in one moment, I'm going to name the conference committees for Senate File 69 and House Bill 9. Committee announcements. Chairman Elloway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Monday at 9 a.m. in House 18 to discuss joint interim topics with the folks down to the west of here.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet in 8:17 upon noon recess for consideration of Senate File 47, Wyoming State Training School Amendments, Senate File 24, Health Insurance Clinical Trials, and reconsideration of Senate File 85, Health Care Reform Pilot Project.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Monday, noon recess, to consider interim topics with our counterparts from down the hall.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, will meet immediately upon noon recess today in room 302, where we will take up Senate File 70 in gross School Finance Amendments, Senate File 54 engrossed, School Finance Rebated Recapture, and Senate File 29 engrossed, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program.
Further messages. Chairman Philp.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet today on noon recess to discuss Senate File Senate File 62, Emergency Medical Technicians, and Senate File 26, business entities, registered agents. And, Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee on House Bill 1 will meet to look at the report. Looks like we have a an agreement with the Senate on the House Bill 1. So should be getting back to you this afternoon on that.
Further announcements. Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet next Tuesday, March the 4th, upon noon recess in committee number room H-17 to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet with the Revenue Committee in the Senate on Tuesday noon and in their chambers, and we will meet in the House 13 on Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock to discuss intern topics. And I'd also like to announce that the Capital Ministries that has been with us every Wednesday morning this next week will be with us Monday morning at 6:30 in the Hersler Commons. You'll have that Bible study on your desk sometime today. We encourage you to attend that.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Mr. Speaker, in honor of the Leap into Leadership Women's Day today, we'd like to invite all of the women in the House of Representatives, when we adjourn for lunch recess, to go up to the front for photographs. We'll just take just less than 5 minutes so that people can get to their committee meetings.
Further announcements. Naming of Conference Committee for Senate File 69 will be Representative Childers, Chair, Representative Thompson, and Representative Brown. Naming of the Conference Committee for House Bill 9 will be Representative Illoway, Chair, Representative Throne, and Representative Hammonds. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recess until 2 p.m.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. We stand in recess until 2 p.m. today.